are listening to 89.1 CHUO-FM. My name is Gabby, and this is your Friday news. Labor for Palestine, a pan-Canadian network of labor activists who work in solidarity with Palestine, hosted an online panel featuring four Palestinian speakers on Sunday, May 22nd. One of the main themes of the panel was the shifting narrative around the violence occurring against Palestinians. Mohammed El-Kurd, a Palestinian writer and activist from Jerusalem, said that mainstream media describing the situation as settler colonialism and apartheid will help the international community better understand the Palestinian struggle.
I'm very excited by all of the international campaigns, all of the international protests, all of the calls on internationalist trade unions, all of the artists circulating letters against Israeli apartheid, all of the people pushing for sanctions, all of the people rallying and marching to the Israeli embassies and consulates. We are finally in a moment, I believe, where the Palestinian struggle for liberation is mainstream. You know, we go back and forth between the mainstream, but the difference, and I talked to my friend Sumaya Awad, who's also a Palestinian writer and activist, and she said that the difference now, we're not just breaking through the mainstream for human rights violations. We're breaking through the mainstream as a liberationist movement. Our vocabulary of settler colonialism, our vocabulary that we have always used in the Palestinian street in Arabic is finally turning the tide, making it into the English and closing the chasm that once existed. Now, I believe that chasm existed because our leadership, our elders taught that we needed to appeal to the Western audiences. And so we presented ourselves in a way that didn't necessarily reflect the wishes of the Palestinian street. But today, because of the power of youth, because of the power of social media, because of our ability to escape the gatekeeping of mainstream media, the gatekeeping of NGOs, we are able to implement a new narration, a new rhetoric of Palestinian liberation that makes this so-called conflict way easier to understand.
Badour Hassan, a Palestinian writer, feminist, and legal researcher, repeated El-Kurd's sentiment. She said that the youth who are using the language of colonialism and apartheid are bravely spreading the truth of the situation.
This generation that has been written down, these young women and men, many of them are teenagers, are doing so many things that my generation probably didn't have the courage to do. And they're redefining the Palestinian struggle. They don't use, as Mohammed said, they don't use the vocabulary of human rights and international law, because they actually saw on their flesh, on their skin, and on the bruised bones, that this vocabulary, this discourse has done nothing, has only cemented and reinforced their oppression. They are using the language of liberation. They're re-articulating their courage. In Edward Said word, they're not waiting for anyone's permission to narrate their story. They're snatching the right to narrate from the jaws of a machine that has long tried to silence us and has long tried to prevent us from speaking up, and that has long tried to demonize any attempt of Palestinians to speak up.
Although Palestinian activists are encouraged by the shifting narrative, pro-Israel activists disagree with characterizing the conflict as colonialism and apartheid. According to an article by the Times of Israel, Prime Minister of Israel Benjamin Netanyahu said that claims of apartheid are false because all citizens are equal before the law, regardless of ethnicity. Canadian pro-Israel sources also said that the shifting narrative was false. Adir Krafman from the Center of Israel and Jewish Affairs, which is a Canadian advocacy group, said that using the language of apartheid and colonialism oversimplifies the situation.
I've seen various media reports, and I've seen a recent letter by some journalists about shifting the language on the conflict between Israelis and Palestinians. And I actually think it's a really dangerous and unhelpful approach to looking at the conflict. I think, especially when we look at social media and the way in which content is being sort of reduced to simple sound bites and quick, easily digestible material that disappears after 10 seconds, look at a conflict that is so complex and so long-standing, like the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And what this narrative does is it reduces the conflict to a wrong understanding of what it is, which is to look at it through an oppressor and oppressed lens, or a settler-colonial lens. But in reality, the conflict between Israelis and Palestinians is one in which two legitimate peoples, two nations, are in dispute over a territory for which both peoples have a deep and indigenous connection to the land.
Riham Abu Aita, a Palestinian journalist and speaker at the Labor for Palestine event, said that Palestinians and Israelis are not equally powerful, and therefore using the language of colonialism and apartheid is appropriate.
We want them to not put Palestinian in equal with Israel, because it's an occupation, and we are occupied, we are victims. And for us, like for me, it's really frustrating for me when I see, like, stop violence. We call Israel and Palestinian to stop violence. You can't compare the violence of occupation with the violence of us. You can't compare their rockets with our rockets. You can't, because for us it's resistance and resistance. And if international does not see it as resistance, they can't compare the power and the force of one of the, like, not biggest, like, powerest, most powerful army in the world with the Palestinians.
Krafman said the language of colonialism is especially problematic when describing the situation in Shijara. Krafman said that the issue is a private land dispute.
So it's a complicated legal matter, but I think one thing that I want to leave with your listeners to the show is that this is a private dispute, and it's not something that is being driven forward by any sort of Israeli official or the government. In fact, it was a signed affidavit, if you look into the case, by the government of Israel that actually warned against moving forward with any sort of eviction of the families due to the sensitivity and political significance of the matter.
You're talking about it being a private dispute, so what do you think of like police powers coming in and violently dispossessing Palestinian tenants?
So this is a private legal matter, and the narrative that's been put forth is the false narrative that's being put forth is that this is some sort of coordinated attempt to kick people out of their homes. This is simply not the case.
Al-Kurd said during the Sunday panel that there is excessive state force being used in Shijara.
In the past 3 weeks, Shijara, my neighborhood, has been under an illegal blockade where no Palestinians are allowed entry, not even journalists, not even medics. Not even us who live in the neighborhood. We even have been having a hard time going to our houses. And meanwhile, Israeli settlers can just walk in freely, no questions asked. Shir Jarrah has been making headlines in the past few months, and this is thanks to the many, you know, tireless journalists and activists working on it. And it's thanks to our stubborn demand that our story get told the way it is, truthfully and objectively. And Sheikh Jarrah has a microcosm of Israeli settler colonialism everywhere in historic Palestine, because you see it manifested in land theft and house takeovers by Israeli settlers working in collusion with the Israeli state. And you also see the manifestation of police brutality and excessive force by the Israeli state. And you also see it in the apartheid system that I just explained, right? We don't get to go into our homes. We get brutalized in the street, whereas settlers not only can walk around wielding rifles and walk without having to be stopped at the cement barriers, but they also can give orders to the Israeli occupation forces to harass us and brutalize us. So that's what settler colonialism means in material terms, beyond the academic explanations of what it means.
For CHUOFM, this is Gabby Kolugai-Kasuga.